love those hymns. Let me clarify something from this morning, right? We don't go on feelings, right? We go on the Word of God and truth doctrine. But folks, listen up. If you can sing something like that and not feel anything, you're one cold fish, amen? A relationship with Christ should feel good. You should. The Spirit of God in you rejoices. God was an emotional being. That's why we're emotional. We don't let emotion rule and dictate our life. But boy, oh boy, man, you got to feel your Christianity, amen? It has to feel something. I don't know how people can get through some of these hymns and not. Oh, I mean, I was getting goosebumps. That's why I was glad. I was just thinking, how I'm glad that you're all here in the afternoon service. Why? Because you want more of Jesus. Amen? And I'm glad that you stayed. So let's go and turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 John as we continue with our series in 1 John. This is message number 29 out of the book of 1 John. And I'm going to get you to read a really long passage today. Okay. we're just going to read 1 John 4:19, right? 1 John 4:19, one of the simplest and most famous verses in the Bible. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of God we've had already this day. And Lord, truly with God's people and in fellowship and just the goodness and the love of God, my cup runneth over, Father God. Father, we just come seeking a little bit more. Father, you've asked us to come and to ask and that you will give. How often, Lord, we have not because we ask not. So, Father, with this simple thought this afternoon, Lord, I know that it's late in the day and we've been here already for a while, but, Father, we just ask that you would just bless us a little bit more, give us a little bit more from your word. That's your desire, to bless your people, to help them to grow. So that's what we pray for today. Lord, I pray you'd help me to preach, help my voice to stay. And Lord, most of all, I pray, Lord, you'd help me to be a blessing to these, my brethren. Lord, help me to preach with boldness and unction. Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, these people don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from you. So I pray, Lord, you would use me this afternoon to be a blessing to my church. I love them, Lord, and I want what you have for them this afternoon. So bless our time together. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. The title of the message this afternoon is Love Them First. Love Them First. We're in the proverbial home stretch of one of the great chapters in the Bible about love. Thank you, Brother Kurt. Great is your reward in heaven. He turned the fan on. Amen. That's good. We have seen that in our study of this, folks, we have seen that we don't have the capacity within us to love like God wants us to love outside of the Lord. We have seen that God is love, and since we have God, we now can love like he wants us to and the way we should love. And we've seen that God sending Jesus is the greatest example in history of that kind of love. We've seen that we are to work at growing our love, at perfecting or maturing our love, as we looked at last week. And this afternoon we come to this well-known verse and a familiar thought, 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. We love God because he loved us first. That's what the verse says. That's the text. And if we were in another type of church, we'd probably just pray and go and sing some more for another hour. Amen. But we're in a Baptist church. Amen. We're going to preach. So I believe, apart from the text, yeah, there's more than just that, I think, and I want to give you some things. On its surface, the verse says only that we love God because he loved us first. But the context, church, the context in which that thought is set can show us a few additional thoughts. And that's what I want to give you this this afternoon. In this entire chapter, God sets himself before us as both the example of how to love and the means of actually loving it. God also shows us the result of this love when it is matured, or the Bible word perfected there. So in light of this context, what does this verse have to do to teach us beyond this powerful yet simple concept that it gives us? Let me give you just four statements of practical truth. And again, I'm watching the clock clearly, okay? I know it's been a long day, but I want to give you four simple statements that is going to help you with this verse. Point number one, if you take notes, yeah. God is previous. God is previous. By that I mean, folks, God is first. God is first. He plans and he prepares long before the scenario in question ever came to exist in your life. We see this in Scripture time and time and time again. We see it in things like in creation. How many things were planned and prepared before God, before the Bible says, before the foundations of the world? God is a planning God. God is a God of preparation. We see that in redemption's plan and in its execution. God knew already about salvation. I mean, folks, understand that when God created the world, he didn't say, oh no, what did Adam and Eve do? They sinned against me now. And God didn't say, what am I going to do now? Right? It wasn't an afterthought. Redemption's plan. God is a God of preparation. God is previous. Again and again, the Word of God shows us by example and by narrative that God is ahead of us, folks. We see it in things like in the Bible, like preparing Moses for 80 years before God used him to deliver the people out of Egypt. He prepared Joseph for years before the famine and making him the second ruler in Egypt. Understand that God is previous, folks. God is God is never on the defensive. God is always ahead. He's always on the attack, so to speak. God initiates and God starts and God begins things. This explanation of God's character is likewise perfectly revealed in our text. He loved us first. He loved us before we loved him. He did not respond to us. We responded to him. We acted on something that he initiated. Folks, before we ever reached towards God, he had already reached towards us. Before we ever loved him, he had already set his love upon us. And I think of that, folks, and sometimes it just blows my mind that I was saved as a 28-year-old man. And before I ever approached the cross of Christ and realized that I was a sinner and that my life had transgressed the holy commandments of God and that my sin wasn't an affront to God and that I didn't have a relationship with God because of my sin. And the day that I realized that, and then I realized the love of God in him so loving me that he didn't want me to pay the penalty of that sin, which is separation from God forever in the lake of fire. And so God so loved the world, I realized that God so loved us that he sent his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that was for us. And folks, before I ever came to the cross of Christ, God had already loved me. And God loves you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this afternoon, I would encourage you to know the love of God found in the cross. You need to come to Christ. You need to be saved. You need to be born again by the Spirit of God. A love for God is never the starting point of the story, folks. The story of a born-again Gus didn't start on the 28th of April 2002. The story of a born-again Gus started the day Jesus hung on the cross for him, before I ever knew him. It always the response to a love that was already moving towards us. Our love for God did not start the relationship, folks. God's love started it. Long before our hearts ever turned towards Him, His heart had already been turned towards us. Amen. Point number one, God is previous. Point number two, once again, folks, God is our example. This is not just true generically, it is explicitly true in this context of loving one another that we've been talking about. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and go back to verse number 11. Just a few verses behind. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 11. I want you to notice this. Beloved, if God what? So, right? If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God so loved. That's asking, how does God love? Answer that question, and you know how you are supposed to love. Well, folks, can we answer that? The message I preached from that text showed us that God's love is sacrificial. That's how I'm supposed to love. It showed us that God's love is bold, and that God's love is enduring, and that God's love is limitless, and that God's love is unconditional. It is also original, folks. He initiated our loving relationship. I simply responded. He is our example of that. God has not only commanded us to love, He has shown us how to love. And when we want to know what love should look like, we do not look to the world. We do not look to our own understanding. We look to God. Because His love becomes the pattern. His love becomes the measure. His love is the example for ours. Folks, the Christian life is not about it reinventing the wheel. The Christian life is not us in reinventing what love is supposed to be. It is us imitating our God, imitating His love. And that becomes the model for how we are to love one another. So once again, point number two, God is our example. Point number three. If we are to love as God loves and God initiates love, then we too should initiate love. We should initiate it. Hence the title of the message. Love them first, folks. We've been speaking a lot about this, as I said this morning, and I'm loving the way these two passages in Ephesians and John just overlap each other. Spiritually immature people only love in response generally because they are far from God. They only love in response, and they can only do that because generally they're far from God. Spiritually mature people initiate that. They don't respond to that. They initiate that. They initiate love generally because it's busting out of them all over the place. The reality is that you can initiate and love like God loves is because it's coming out of you. It's been initiated by God, and it's oozing from you. I want you to look at a person. We're going to look at a couple of people that we can have a look in the Bible that had learnt this. The first one is in Acts chapter 9. Go ahead and turn there. We're going to see how the son of consolation. Who's that? Barnabas, I like in my Bible college students, okay? Barnabas. I want you to notice how Barnabas dealt with a guy named Saul of Tarsus. All right? Acts chapter 9, look at verse 26 and 27. And when Saul, notice it wasn't Paul yet, right? And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he's already saved, mind you, right? He's right in the beginning of his Christian life. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. So here comes Saul. He wants to, he's left his old life behind. He's not living like the old man anymore. He's a new creature in Christ. And boy, talk about being called into the ministry straight away, brother. How would you like to be saved one next, called into the ministry the next? Eh? One moment here, one moment you're on the road to Jerusalem, right? And so Saul here, he's saved, he's called of the Lord Jesus Christ. And where do you start? Well, you go and assay yourself, like the Bible says, to the apostles, the ones that had walked with Jesus for those 3.5 years. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all what? They were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Folks, the apostles didn't want a bar of him. They didn't know what happened at Damascus. And here comes this guy, this Saul, who was consenting unto their deaths, who had been standing there holding the clothes as they stoned Stephen. And he rocks in through the door and says, "You know what? I'm a believer." And the rest of the disciples are right, bro. Be careful. We watch. And they were afraid of him. I love verse 27. But who? Barnabas. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Folks, who initiated all this? Barnabas. When the rest of the believers were afraid and kept Saul at arm's length, Barnabas was the one that came and stepped forward and took Saul under his wing and brought him to the apostles. Here we see Barnabas initiating the very kind of love God had shown him and the love that he recognized that God had shown to Saul himself, or to the Apostle Paul. He recognized, you love him first. He didn't wait. He didn't wait for Saul to stretch out his right hand. No, Barnabas came to him. He loved him first. Listen, this is a vitally necessary truth for those of you who are going to go into ministry. You don't minister to people on a conditional basis, Brother Kurt. You don't minister to people, period, conditionally. Our ushers that greet people at the door, you shake everybody's hand. We love them first. We don't give them opportunity, folks. Our Sunday school teachers, we love all the kids first. My wife's got a secret weapon, though. Let me tell you, you know what they are. You make me buy them every week. They're called lollies, folks. You'd be surprised how kids love you when they know you get lollies, all right? Maybe we should start giving them out at church. Yeah, I bet some of you would like lollies. Ah, yeah, guess it's Sister Carolyn. When we go to outreach, folks, we love them first. We don't sit there with a stack of tracts, I hope we don't, and then we pick and choose who we're going to give them out to. We love them first. We love everybody. We give one to everybody who will take one. Because what we do must be rooted and grounded in love. And not a love that wants to be earned, but a love that is freely given because it has been freely received. Folks, you know the verse. Freely you have received, freely you give. That includes the love of God. That includes love. So, folks, I want to encourage you. Love them first. Love them first, like God loved you first. Point number four. What happens when we practice that on an ongoing basis? All right? Point number four. When this practice becomes a regular part of how you function, eventually your life will be absolutely filled with the love of God. You won't do without, folks. If this is who you are, you love people first, you're just this hose, as we've been talking about, of the channel of the love of God. If this becomes the part of your function, eventually your life would be inundated with this love of God. But you've got to decide that beforehand. You've got to decide that today if you haven't decided that. Folks, let me tell you something that I haven't told you before. The day that this church voted unanimously to have me as their pastor, I decided ahead of time that whosoever was to show up in this place, whether it was my family, whether it was the members of this church, or whether it was visitors who strolling through the door, whoever shows up into this place, I would do my best to love them from day one. From day zip. And let me confess to you that group of people has become my life. Now, that doesn't mean, folks, that you just accept everything and you just go along with everything and you fail to lead. But you love them first, regardless. Regardless. And to this day, those people are dear to me, and I pray, I hope that I am dear to them. But the same is true with other groups of people who I have to work with, who I have to deal with. I teach at Bible college. I teach two subjects. I teach the book of Acts and I teach the life of Christ. I decided early on that I was going to love these kids. And most of them, there are some adults in there, but most of these Bible college students are kids. And you have to decide that you're going to love them first. You got to love people first. I decided when I started my secular job that for 23 years, when I got saved, that I was going to love these guys in the office first. Even now, I work part-time in retail. I decided I was going to love them first. But you know what the reality of that is, folks? The reality is not everyone you love will love you back. 2 Corinthians 12. Not everyone that you choose to love them first, like God loves them, not all of them are going to love you back. And that's right, and that's the example, because, hey, folks, God so loved the world, amen? Does the world love God? Not all the world loves God, so they're not all going to love you back. But let me tell you something, many of them will. And you will find that the love that you sent out in bits and pieces and the love that you sent in vapors returns to you in floods, folks. So let me say this in addition to you. You know, as I stand here behind this pulpit this Sunday afternoon, I truly consider myself a rich man this afternoon, church. Not in money or in wealth. I mean, my goodness, if that was the measure of richness, dare I say, most of us would be in trouble. But there are a bunch of people in the building this afternoon that I believe love me. And to clarify, beyond my wife and daughter, amen? Let me embarrass someone. Yesterday, I was doing okay yesterday at the graduation and stuff. I was okay. I'm just exhausted, but I'm doing okay. And I had a phone call from Sister Carolyn and Brother Ilias yesterday after I got home. And Sister Carolyn said, well, obviously, always Brother Ilias is always in the background because I can always hear him. Tell him this, ask him that. And I, shut up, I'm talking to someone. And Sister Carolyn got on the phone and he said, listen, I'm just giving you a buzz. I just want to know, are you okay? I said, as far as I know, she said, no, look, I just noticed that you were a little bit iffy, I just want to make sure you're okay. I said, Sister Carolyn, I'm doing well. But you don't know what it means to me that you rang. That you're just checking on me. That you actually worried about how I am. That's brotherly love, folks. And contrary to maybe popular belief, there are also quite a few people outside of this building that love me too. And I dare say, folks, I'm encouraged to say it's probably the same for you in this circumstance. You have people in this room that love you and care for you. You have people outside of this room that love you and care for you and are interested in your life and worry about you and they care for you. But do you realize? Do you realize that there are some people that never, ever, ever get to experience that? Why? Because they are too afraid or too lazy or too selfish to love others around them first. And their love is selective. I will love you if you love me first. And if you don't, I'll step on you. Doesn't matter what happens to you. The very opposite of that horrible way to live. We have an example in the Bible of this woman called Dorcas. Go ahead and turn your Bible to Acts chapter 9. Go back to Acts chapter 9. We're just going to read three verses. Actually, no, we're not. But go to chapter, you can read about it in chapter 9, 36 to 39. Otherwise, I'm not going to get you out of here the time I want to get you out of here. But in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 39, the Bible there, you can have a look, tells us about a woman named Tabitha. Or her name as Dorcas, as it says. Folks, let me ask you, look up here for a second. You know about Dorcas, right? Tabitha. Was she an apostle? No, she wasn't. Was she some sort of famous preacher? I mean, heaven forbid. No, she wasn't. She was simply a believer whose life was full of good works and of charity. The Bible tells us that she made coats and garments for people in need. This was a woman who helped the widows and she quietly loved the people that were around her. This is Tabitha. This is Dorcas. And then what happened? She died. And then when Peter arrived, the Bible says that the widows stood around him weeping and showing the coats and the garments that she had made for them. In other words, church, her life had become surrounded by people who loved her. And why was that, church? Why was that? Because she had spent her life loving them first. Dorcas did not just feel love. Dorcas lived it. Her life was the epitome of it, of loving people first. When love becomes the normal way that you treat people, listen, something amazing happens over time. Your life becomes surrounded by the very love that you gave out. And you send it out in small acts, in a kindness here and an encouragement there and helping someone when they are hurting. And years later, you look around and then you realize something. You are surrounded by people who care about you. Not because you demanded it, not because you manipulated it, but because the love of God multiplies when it is given away. The people who experience the most love in life are usually the people who spent years giving you away first. Folks, I want to encourage you. If you take nothing else from today's message on this little scripture, love them first. Love them first because God loved you first. Let me close with this and we're done. Folks, when you study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you begin to notice something about him. Let me ask you, what was his default setting when he met people? The Bible says again and again and again that he had compassion. That he had compassion on them. Compassion was always his starting point. Love was his first movement towards people. And when people encountered that love, something powerful often happened. In one place, the Bible says of a man who met Jesus, and the Bible says, beholding him, loved him. Beholding him, Jesus, loved him. Love given is love returned. And that is the lesson of our verse this afternoon, church. We love him because he first loved us. God did not wait for us to deserve his love. God didn't wait for us to prove ourselves. My goodness. God didn't wait for us to do our best and to come halfway to meet him where. No. God came all the way to where we were. He loved us first. So don't wait, church. The people in your circle of influence, don't wait. Don't wait to love the lost. Don't wait to love the brethren. Don't wait for people to earn it or to initiate it. Love them the way God loved you. Love them first. Amen? Let's stand. I'll give you a challenge and then we'll pray. Let's stand, let's bow our heads. And then I'll get Brother Michael in a second. You can come and lead us in the last song. But let's stand, let's stretch our legs. Let's bow our heads. I just want to give you an application, a challenge here. As we, you know, church, I've been thinking about, you know, as we stand here this afternoon, I just want to leave you with one simple question that I want you to take home to think about from this afternoon's message. Because I know that this is a little bit of a stirring thing, a stirring thought. As I was talking about loving them first and not waiting for them and just going out and you know, loving them because, you know, first because God loved you. Who in your life right now is waiting for you to make the first move in regards to you loving them? Who did God put on your heart and on your mind? A brother or a sister in the church? Did he put in your mind someone that you have drifted from, that maybe is at a distance and you don't realize why they're at a distance, but you've just drifted away from them? Maybe someone that you know is alone and they need a friend. They need someone to show them the love of God first. Maybe it's even someone that needs to be saved and God has placed them on your heart and God, the Holy Spirit of God has prompted you. Listen, they need to see the love of God first through you. Oh, beloved, listen, don't wait for them to reach out first. Praise God, God didn't wait for us, amen? So this week, decide now that you're going to love someone first. We're going to love them first because God loved us first. Father, thank you for loving us first. Thank you for loving us when we were undeserving and we were distant. Thank you for loving us first when we were lost. And Lord, help us not to keep that love to ourselves. Fill our hearts so full of your love that it flows out of us towards the people around us, Lord. And give us courage to initiate your love, grace to show compassion, and humility to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that the love you have placed in us will touch the life of many, many others this week. We commit this heart's desire to you, and we ask it in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. All right.